Backseat Box Office, episode number 24, for the weekend of March 4th through the 6th, 2011.
Hey, this is Tony.
This is Andrew.
We are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to Backseat Box Office.
And this is the Week of Suck, Part 2.
Oh my god. This week sucked so bad, it sucked away Jonathan.
Jonathan? Oh yeah, we should mention that. He actually, his score was so low, he imploded into himself almost like a singularity formed in the center of his chest.
Wow. Yeah.
It was disturbing.
It was rough. It was a rough week.
We actually thought about taking this week off just to recover, but for you...
We are muscling through.
That's right.
Pushing on, as it were.
So, in this great first week of... our second week of Suck, we actually had some feeder caller feedback.
We did. Actually, it wasn't caller. It was listener.
True.
And they commented instead of calling in. But they might call in the future. That can still happen. It's not off the table. We had Rich and Uriah both give us their picks for the week.
And God willing, they'll come back.
Yeah. Maybe.
Well, let's talk about how bad it was.
Before we talk about how bad it was, I want to start off with a little bit of good news.
Wait, real quick. You're not going to call me out, are you? Because I've had enough of that this week.
I am going to call you out in a way. Oh, in a way.
Jesus.
All right, so a couple of weeks ago, there was some back and forth between you and I over a prize that the Way of the Game folks were giving out, and it escalated from being an arm wrestling match to a 5K.
That's true, and I am ready to do that.
Now, for the record, I have done a 5K. As of last night, I did 5K, part of it on the treadmill, part of it on the elliptical, and I did it in under an hour, which is a huge accomplishment for me. And I know it's probably not even close to where you're at with it, but I'm working on it because the way I look at it, I have till October.
Yeah, well, this is you taking it seriously, man. This is you starting to get gunned up for October.
This is the beginning of the montage.
I do love a classic 80s montage.
And this is the beginning of it. Sweating my ass off in a darkened theater watching The Bounty Hunter for an hour as I do this. It's like, I don't know what was more torturous. Watching that movie or actually moving my girth for 3.13 miles.
Oh my god. And you know, this montage is going to end with you just crushing me.
Yeah, that's hopefully.
But you got till October.
Got till October. Now, it's
working toward this drunk or sober.
Ah, that is a good question. You know, maybe we ought to do a shot every so often. Start sober and drunk.
Just every
quarter mile.
If you're doing a quarter mile lap, yeah, that's
every quarter
12
mile.
Shots, more or less.
Oh god.
Maybe shots of beer wouldn't be enough.
No.
We'll think about it.
No. And in fact, I was talking to Daryl and thinking maybe we'll even organize a 5K at Archon. Like an official Archon 5K, you know, promote geek fitness. So
I mean, we'll get a solid 10, 12 people.
Four people? Maybe.
There were some, I don't know, Princess Leia and Wonder Woman both looked extremely healthy and able to run a 5K.
Probably.
I don't know if they would show up.
They could
if we
be
were hosting it.
They could be like the race rabbits. We could probably get a lot of fat guys out there running.
They again. We'd have packs of them just chasing them. Their tongues would be hanging out as they sweat and try to catch their breath. Oh my god.
I probably need to make some phone calls.
We We need to get this in planning committee immediately.
That's true. We need a subcommittee on that stat.
The Sausage Fest planning committee subcommittee for the
5K.
Yeah, but we gotta have something about the race rabbits. The race rabbit 5K.
Oh,
I don't know where to go from this.
I don't know either.
God, I'm just keep thinking about that.
We should probably talk about just how bad we did last week.
Oh.
Though, for the record, if estimates would have held, we would have all done terribly. Like,
yeah,
as bad as
talk about
as bad as we thought we did last week, if estimates would have held, we would have surpassed last week's suckage.
I mean, so what exactly a change between the... So for people who don't know, estimates come out. There's Friday estimates come out Saturday morning. The whole weekend estimates come out Sunday afternoon. And then mm-hmm. the actual figures are posted Monday afternoon-ish.
Right.
So Tony, what changed between the estimates and the actuals to save us from further suckage?
Well, the first and second place flip-flopped, which we all had picked first place. We were all dead on with Hall Pass. most of us had picked Romeo and Juliet. I shouldn't say that. Most of us did not. You and I had picked Romeo and Juliet at number two. let's see. A goodly portion did Unknown at number three. And I want to say, well, let's see, Unknown did not change place. It ended at number three. Just Go With It. Is it Just Go With It? And I Am Number Four had flip flopped in the closing hours when they went from estimates to the actuals, and. Just those changes shifted some of us as much as 4 points.
Wow.
It was shifting all over the place. Excuse me. At one point, Jonathan was in second by himself, which, as we now know, he ended with the actuals. He was in a tie for second.
With this guy.
With you, yeah. The listener votes that came in, those guys were going to get an 11 just based on the estimates, which granted would have removed my place as the worst score with last week's but they actually both bumped up to 15s, so it made a considerable difference for them. I bumped up like 3 points from what I had, and
I bumped up three.
Yeah, you bumped up three, but I think Jonathan only bumped up two or something like that. I mean, it was enough that you guys ended up tying where you were. There was a definitive second and third place prior.
Right. So, how the movies actually ended up from this past weekend, Hall Pass ended up number one, bringing in $13.5 million. Romeo and Juliet, number two, with $13.4 million. Unknown dropped to number three, with $12.5 million. I Am Number Four came in at number four, Tony.
I know, that was crazy. That was pretty good.
With $11 million. And number five, Just Go With It, $10.5 million. Now, allow me to talk about something. Let's talk about Drive Angry. This piece of crap movie couldn't bring in $10 million. Are you kidding me?
Oh man, that was terrible. That was so bad. And you were the sucker of us. Actually, I can't say that. Uriah.
Uriah, oh, Rich Uriah. And I all valued it more than you and Jonathan did.
Uriah picked it at number two.
Well, to be fair, no one could have seen it being this low, I don't think.
No. I think my prediction even had it, getting like 10 or 12 million.
Yeah, I mean, I was five in my mind. Yeah, in my mind, I was estimating about 10 million, because that's what Season of the Witch had brought in its opening week. And I know they're not exact.
No,
you know, they're different types of films, but they're both Nicolas Cage vehicles.
I wonder if this isn't a 3D backlash kind of thing, because it was so heavily hyped to being Drive Angry shot in 3D.
3D. Yeah. That whole 3D hype I've been over for a while now.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if it really didn't hurt it, you know?
Yeah, it may have. Well, something there's not a whole lot appealing to that movie. Watching the trailer, there's just not a whole lot there that looks in any way interesting to something to go see.
No, no. It looks like it's trying to, like, I don't know, like, be the bastard love child of, like, Fast and Furious and Taken, but with Nicolas Cage. So you have to mix in a little bit of Ghost Rider in there.
Right, he's back from the dead, running from the devil.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know. When I saw the trailer, I didn't think much of it, but I guess a few people saw it.
Not many. So this movie basically did all of us in. I mean, this movie cost me 6 points. It cost Jonathan 5 points. It cost Tony 5 points. Cost Rich 6, and cost Uriah 7 points. Just on that one movie.
One movie, yeah.
Because Tony, the scores you had been 80% correct.
Yes.
80%. You had 80% of the movies right, but that one movie took you from having a perfect score to 20.
I know. I mean, that's just how off it was. And really, if we adjusted everybody's scores to compensate a little bit for Drive Angry, I mean, even the lowest amongst us would have gotten like a 20. I mean, yeah. We all did fairly well, with the exception of Drive Angry. It was really the spoiler for the week.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to look at it in terms of the old way, where you get 20% for each one you pick correctly, you would have had 80.
Mm-hmm.
Uriah and I would have had 60. Rich would have had 40, and Jonathan would have had 20, which is where Jonathan belongs, in the cellar.
Well, yeah, I mean, realistically, because, you know, aside from everything else, and if you want to know exactly how we get the scores, go to backseatproducers.com / BSBO-scoring, I think is the exact URL, but go to backseatproducers.com. There's a BSBO scoring along the top bar there. And we list out what the score for the week is, what our average over the for the year is, and there's a nice little description of exactly how we get the point structure, even though some people can't ever seem to figure it out, even though they've been doing the show for a few months now.
Man, who is that?
I don't know.
Because it's not me. It's not you.
It's not me. I'm the one who does it every week.
Huh.
So
that's a mystery.
It's math. It's the maths. Do them. It's a subtraction math game. I don't know what I was going to say.
Okay.
I was talking about...
You're talking about the math. Distraction.
Yeah. Anyway, if you look at our scores, we all did fairly well. It just... Drive Angry just threw all of us for a loop.
You see, now eventually something like that's going to happen with a number one pick.
Oh, that is going to be devastating.
Because we talked about that last week. What would happen if, you know, some overhyped movie that was supposed to be high ended up coming to like number eight, and you double? Because for those who don't know, you double the penalty for the number one movie,
right?
If you guess it wrong, and
we could see single digits if something like that happened.
Oh, I guarantee
easily.
It.
Easily,
yeah. So let's not dwell on the past, though, Tony.
No. Let's move on.
Let's look to the future.
And in the future, we've got 4 new movies coming out this weekend.
That's a lot of movies.
It is a lot.
I know we're moving into March, but man.
There's at least one that I am actually planning on seeing this weekend.
Can I guess which one it is?
I'm sure you can.
Is it Rango?
It is Rango.
Are you taking the youngins?
I am. Yeah, there's some, I don't know, some baby thing. I don't know. Yard sale, but in a building. I don't know. Some crazy thing that Julie's going to on Saturday morning. So I'm likely going to take the kids and load them up on soda and popcorn and junk food. So we're gonna have a slamming Saturday afternoon after imbibing in sugar all morning.
Just go straight from there to the park. Tell them to come back in about 3 hours when they're tired and hungry. And
well, what we might do is we may go straight to Monkey Joe's. I think that's probably in order.
Is that similar to Bonkers?
I don't know what Bonkers is, so maybe.
I don't know what Monkey Joe's is.
Monkey Joe's is a chain, and they have like all the bounce house kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Indoors.
Yeah, that's similar to Bonkers. All right,
so it's a similar idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll probably do something like that just to, because they will be hyped up after sitting for 2 hours. And
yeah, they'll be a bit wound up after all that. So our four new movies for the week, as we've mentioned, we got Rango, animated film featuring Johnny Depp. I really don't know anyone else's voices in this one, but basically, I think the general premise is a household pet runs away from home, ends up in this kind of western-feeling backwater town that's been overrun by outlaws, and he ends up becoming the new sheriff in town.
Right.
It looks pretty darn good.
It does look pretty good, and even the Rotten Tomatoes score is an 85. I read a couple of reviews because I was debating on whether I really wanted to take the kids to see it, and some of the reviews I'm seeing are fairly good, and They actually make mention that Johnny Depp is kind of understated in his role. He's not Johnny Deppish. You kind of forget who the actor voicing the chameleon is, and so that's nice. It's good when that happens, when it's not some big stunt casting kind of thing.
Absolutely. And HSX thinks this movie's going to do quite well. It's currently trading at $116 a share, which is a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
For HSX.
That's going to do pretty well, I'm believing. next, we've got The Adjustment Bureau. Matt Damon... it's a Philip K. Dick short story, which those tend to make for good movies. It kind of has a Dark City vibe to it from the trailers that I've seen. Let's see the description. I'm not going to read all this crap. Oh my god, this is one of the most complicated synopses.
Let me boil it down to you. Basically, this is it. Matt Damon's a politician. He falls in love with a ballerina. When he tries to connect with her, mysterious forces are these kind of weird, almost watcher from Fringe looking guys try to keep them apart. He starts to investigate this, and he ends up starting to question his own sense of reality as things become more and more surreal.
That is a great synopsis. I wish the synopsis on Rotten Tomatoes was at only twice as long as that. Oh, my God.
But you're right. It does have a very much a Dark City feel when, you know, people send to kind of blank out and things change. People right. show up and change things.
Yeah, it's maybe trying to latch on to the box office machine that was Inception last summer. Because it's got kind of the... Stylistically, it looks kind of like Inception. But thematically, it seems to be more along the lines of a Dark City. Where right. Dark City had a very definitive style to it. This... Stylistically does not remind me of Dark City, but thematically does.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. And for those listening who would like to, who haven't seen these trailers, why not? Each week when we put our show notes out, we link the trailers to them. So if you want to come see the trailers for all the movies opening each week, and you know, swing on by.
Yes. That is another awesome bit of work that you do on the website. Thank you, sir.
You know, now it just seems like shameless self-promotion. Thanks, Tony.
That's all right. We can do that. We will shamelessly self-promote you and diss Jonathan this whole episode.
I'm going to shamelessly
promote you. And when you are not here another time, we will do just the opposite.
No, that's fair. Well, I want to shamelessly promote Take Me Home Tonight, because this looks hysterical.
I've seen a trailer for it, and it does look good. I want to check this one out.
Because we were talking about 80s montages earlier, and this movie starring, you know, Topher Grace from... I just completely blanked.
That 70s
show. Yeah. Stars in it. He plays a college kid in the 80s pursuing his dream girl at a Labor Day blow-up party. And it's just kind of very much a seems to be kind of a John Hughes kind of party, teen angst in the 80s type movie.
Yeah, it looks good. It's a rated R comedy, so it's probably going to step into some of those areas that some of the teen angst, because there were some teen angst comedies that were rated R in the 80s. I don't know. I'm looking forward to this one. It looks good. I can relate to the era.
So maybe a little bit of nostalgia at work with maybe our feelings about it.
That's all right. I'm okay with that. Unlike some people, I'm okay with nostalgia.
You're okay admitting that's your feel, unlike some people?
Yeah.
Some people who insist that it's the best movie ever and has nothing to do with nostalgia, it's objective fact.
Yes. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, do you want to tell us about the worst movie opening this weekend?
It's a Disney movie.
Oh, Lord.
Wow. Beastly. And this is not my opinion of the movie. That's its title. This one, as long as it is, I think I'm going to read.
Go for it.
Because I haven't read one in a while. And this one, I think, deserves a reading. Because this may be the most attention anyone pays to this movie. Beastly is an edgy teen romance about learning how to see past false surfaces to discover true inner beauty. Kyle Kingston has it all. Looks, intelligence, wealth, and opportunity, and a wicked, cruel streak. Prone to mocking and humiliating, quote-unquote, aggressively unattractive classmates, he zeroes in on goth classmate Kendra, Mary-Kate Olsen. Inviting her to the school's extravagant environmental bash.
Good wow. Lord.
Kendra accepts, and true to form, Kyle blows her off in a particularly savage fashion. She retaliates by casting a spell that physically transforms him into everything he despises. Enraged by his horrible and unrecognizable appearance, he confronts Kendra and learns that the only solution to the curse is to find someone that will love him as he is, a task he considers impossible. Repulsed by his appearance, Kyle's callous father, Peter Krause, banishes him to Brooklyn with a sympathetic housekeeper.
Whoa, they make Brooklyn sound like the sixth ring of hell or something.
Brooklyn. Kyle's callous father banishes him to Brooklyn with sympathetic housekeeper Lisa Gay Hamilton and blind tutor Neil Patrick Harris.
Okay, now real quick. That's the best looking part of that trailer is when Neil Patrick Harris shows up as the blind tutor.
As Kyle ponders how to overcome the curse and get his old life back, he chances upon a drug addict in the act of killing a threatening dealer. Seizing the opportunity, Kyle promises the addict freedom and safety for his daughter, Lindy, Vanessa Hutchins, if she will consent to live in Kyle's Brooklyn home. Thus begins Kyle's journey to discover true love in this hyper-modern retelling of the classic Beauty and the Beast story. Oh.
Well, and you know, you say it's Disney, and maybe I don't get the connection, but the stuff I see says it's from CBS Films.
I don't know. I see a copyright to Disney, though.
Well, I don't know. But if you look at Box Office Mojo and HSX, they both have CBS Films listed as the distributor.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Exactly.
Beastly for C. The synopsis is copyrighted to Disney, but you are correct. The distributor is CBS Films. So, oh, yeah. I don't know. Maybe Disney just owns the copyright on the synopsis. Not that I would claim that.
No, I would. I would run from that.
Wow.
Yeah, this movie
does
not look good. And I'm going to go ahead and say now that's going to tank horribly.
I'm going to say right now I don't even have it on my list. So, yeah, there's that.
Well, what do you have on your list, Tony? As the winner, as the victor last week with your 20 points, your fancy hoity-toity 20 points.
You know, we didn't actually mention how everybody did. We just kind of glossed around it. So last week I got 20 points.
Jonathan and I tied with 17 apiece.
Yep. And Rich and Uriah got 15 points apiece. That leaves them, let's see, as the standings break out overall, I'm still in first place hang on, the page is refreshing. I'm in first place with 20.778 average score.
Boom.
You and Andrew you and Jonathan are still tied with 19.778 points. And we now have a three-way tie for fourth place between Anthony, Rich, and Uriah. All of them have only had one week's selection, and they all have 15 points. I believe it was it Jonathan that said that this just continues the eternal struggle between the two of you, or was that you that said that?
No, that was me. We are locked in our eternal embrace.
Yeah. And looking forward to a future film, I just envisioned when you said that, I envisioned Jonathan and his mighty hands as Mjolnir, and you as Loki, with me sitting above you as Odin, as you are locked in your eternal struggle against each other.
We need someone to draw that picture right there.
We need to get Chibi on that.
We do need to get Chibi on that. That would be awesome. That could be
we need a logo. We don't really have a logo for this show.
That's true.
That would be the logo for the show.
I'm writing myself a note. Chibi. All right. So anyway, yes, as the victor with your proud 20 points, which really, we talk about how much of a sucky week it is, 20 points, not bad.
20 points was, yeah, I mean, considering one of my picks was in ninth place. I'm going to count 20 as a great score for this week. My picks are going to, I don't think they're going to be a huge surprise based on pretty much everything, all indicators. Rango in number one, Adjustment Bureau for number two. Number three and four, I'm kind of flip flopping on, but I'm gonna go ahead and stick with Romeo and Juliet at number three, Hall Pass at number four, and I don't know. I'm don't believe that either Take Me Home Tonight nor Beastly will crack the top five. So I'm going to go unknown at number five.
All right. That's a bold move there, sir. Unknown holding in at number five.
Yeah. I'm gonna go with that.
All right. Well, I had similar thoughts for our first two. I also think Rango is going to dominate number one. I think the Adjustment Bureau is going to come at number two. I put Hall Pass dropping to number three. I had Romeo and Juliet at number four, and then I put Take Me Home Tonight at number five.
That's fair. I was kind of... I thought that Hall Pass would fall further than Romeo and Juliet, but at the same time, I was wondering if Rango might not undercut some of the audience of Romeo and Juliet, so...
Yeah, I think it will.
Yeah.
And Romeo and Juliet's been out quite a while longer than Hall Pass has.
That's true. I stuck with it one more week. I could be wrong, and I'm willing to accept that if that happens. But
because Romeo and Juliet, this is going to be its fourth week out. Hall Pass is going to be its second weekend out. But you know, I haven't heard a lot of opinion about the Hall Pass, good or bad. So I'm not sure exactly how it's going to if it's going to stick around or not.
Yeah, that's going to be the big question. We do have a voicemail from our missing comrade.
He called in from the pocket dimension he was sucked into.
That apparently being just outside the grocery store.
Hey, guys. So my wife had a 14-hour day today. I have an exam tomorrow morning. We haven't eaten dinner yet, and just in general, I don't have time to do a full podcast. So I'm sorry that I'm not on the cast tonight. I will say that last week sucked. This week is going to suck more, I think. And from a purely, standpoint on values, I guess is what we were calling it. Beauty looks terrible, and I hope it crashes and burns and no one ever actually goes to see it. So there's my controversial statement for the week. my picks for next week, or for Friday are Rango at number one, Adjustment Bureau at number two, Romeo and Juliet at number three, as much as that pains me, Hall Pass at number four, and Take Me Home Tonight, I think is the full title, I didn't write it down, at number five. I'm going to go back into the grocery store where my wife is shopping for dinner materials, and I will hopefully have a little more free time next week that I'll be able to, you know, actually sit down and record with you guys. So, till then, have fun. Andrew, I hope you suck more than I do. See you. Bye.
Wow. Can you believe he ripped off your picks like that, Tony?
I know. Is that not crazy?
He picked the exact same first four that you did, just switched his fifth one.
Yeah.
That's a lack of original thought right there.
Well, he wants to be better.
To be fair, you are first place. You're probably not the worst person to model your picks after.
That might be true. We don't currently have picks for anyone else, but if we get a voicemail in the next day before I edit this, perhaps right here will be a voicemail from someone.
Perhaps Rich with his smooth, smooth talking. He's got that nice, deep kind of Irish brogue about him.
Maybe.
Have you ever talked to Rich?
I don't think I have.
Okay. And then, yeah, I would love to hear from Uriah and see what his picks are. If he can redeem, maybe that not the right word, but see if he can do better than he did last week.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
All right. Well, any closing thoughts?
No, not really. You know,
all right.
I really don't.
Only thing I've got, when I was looking at trailers earlier today, Fast Furious 5 coming out in, 3 weeks, I want to say. This looks good. I am excited for Fast and Furious 5.
I have not seen any of those movies yet.
If you ever watch them, skip the second one.
Okay. I probably won't. So.
Just go Fast and Furious, Tokyo Drift, Fast and Furious 4, and you'll be fine.
All right.
All right. Well, hopefully see you back next week with a better week, better report, and hopefully we'll be with Jonathan.
Hopefully Thor will rejoin us next week.
You know, on one hand, you know, Loki's not the best person to be modeled after, but I can't argue with those giant hands of his.
But really, I mean, if we're gonna model anyone after any, you know, if you guys have to be Thor and Loki, look at how often Jonathan does things just based on the righteous, the righteous nature of it, just because it's the right thing to do. At least in his mind.
I think we're going to have to buy you an eye patch.
I will wear it.
for fear for no for Sausage Fest sausage. Getting you an eye patch.
I'm in. I can be Odin and Nick Fury at the same time.
Well, old Nick Fury.
Old Nick Fury. Whatever.
Because you know Samuel L.'s putting it down these days as Nick Fury.
Yeah. That's all right.
I find him very entertaining as Nick Fury.
I think he's a great Nick Fury.
All right. Well, I'll see you next week, man.
See ya.